The vice president was in Ireland this week on personal and professional business. Vice President Pence drew some suspicion when people found out he was staying at the Trump International Golf Course and Hotel, more than 100 miles from where he had meetings scheduled with Irish leaders in Dublin. Here's what the vice president had to say about it.
I understand political attacks by Democrats, but if you have a chance to get to Doonbeg, you'll find it's a fairly small place. And the opportunity to stay at Trump National in Doonbeg to accommodate the unique footprint that comes with our security detail and other personnel made it logical. We checked it with the State Department. They approved us staying there. And
Pence's stay is one of several recent stories bringing the topic of emoluments back into the news. Juliet Sorensen is Executive Director of Injustice Watch and Clinical Professor of Law at the Northwestern Pritzker School of Law. Juliet, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, there's been some back and forth between the vice president's staff and the White House over whether or not the president had personally suggested that the vice president stay at his property in Ireland. But either way, how does this all fit in? People spending money that ultimately profits the president, how does this fit into the Constitution?
The Constitution and the framers felt very strongly on the question of corrupt or improper benefits flowing to federal officers. And so there are two separate emoluments clauses in the Constitution. One of them relates to foreign governments and lays out the rule that a foreign government can't essentially pass cash to the president or a federal officer in any form. The other clause is the domestic emoluments clause, and that provides that the president may receive a salary during the president's time in office, but that the president can't receive in that period any other emolument from the United States in any form.
And that would include potentially, now the vice president in this Ireland case, for the personal part of his stay, he said he paid for that himself, but Secret Service detail or things like that, that's the U.S. government, as I understand it, paying money to this estate owned by the president. Is that right?
That's right. And that's your tax dollars.
And what happens, though, when it comes to enforcement of these emoluments clauses in the Constitution? It would be easier if it were anybody but the president to enforce something like this, right?
Well, you know, the emoluments clause has been, frankly, rarely discussed and even more rarely litigated. Earlier today, Congressman Elijah Cummings sent a request for documents over to the White House because the Oversight Committee of the House is investigating a possible violation of the emoluments clause. It may turn into congressional hearings, but the question of enforcement is in part an open question because it's almost never happened before.
There have been legal challenges from different parties so far, and at least some of them have been turned away because courts ruled that the people bringing the charges didn't have standing. So it didn't really get to the merits of the case. Is it a tricky case to figure out who makes a case against the president under the emoluments clauses?
Well, it is. You know, the House of Representatives is exercising its oversight function. That's obviously different from a civil suit. And it was a civil suit that was dismissed earlier this year. A court found that the plaintiff suing didn't essentially have personal exposure or personal damage by any possible violation of the emoluments clause. So you're right. The court didn't reach the merits of the case.
Talking to Juliet Sorensen from Northwestern University, looking at the president, his ownership of the Trump Organization, and questions about who pays money to properties owned by that organization and whether it can profit the president. This came up again recently when the president was at the G7 summit and suggested the next summit could be held in the future at the Trump National Doral Miami Golf Resort. Is that worth scrutiny?
It absolutely is. And as I understand it, that's also on Congress's radar. That, of course, raises the question of the foreign emoluments clause, because it would be foreign governments coming to the United States, staying at one of the properties owned by the president, and in turn translating into money or a benefit flowing to the president from a foreign government.
When we've seen presidents in the past have business interests of one sort or another, often they've been wealthy people. How have these things been handled? How have they avoided having questions raised?
So for the period of government service, the president and the president's business interests are completely and totally separated and walled off. If there were any type of business operation, the president would not personally stand to benefit. And in an abundance of caution, steps would be taken to ensure that the president wouldn't stand to benefit in the future. That is to say, from any business transaction while the president's in office, but after he or she steps down.
And President Trump has said, okay, I still own my share of the Trump Organization, but I'm not running it. I've handed that off mainly to his sons in this case. Is that enough to have enough arm's length there?
To my mind, it's a big so what, particularly when the president is suggesting that foreign leaders stay at his properties and apparently suggesting or encouraging his vice president to stay at his property in Ireland.
What are you watching for now in Congress as you say, committees start to look at this issue and figure out what, if anything, they can do about it?
You know, I think that there is going to be a legal debate about the scope of the Emoluments Clause. It is being held to some extent in a vacuum. I think there's going to be a debate about the state of mind, about the intentions of the president and the vice president in making these arrangements.
Looks like we lost our guest, Juliette Sorensen, Executive Director of Injustice Watch and Clinical Professor of Law at the Northwestern Pritzker School of Law. We're talking about the president and his business ownership of the Trump Organization, and then the use of properties owned by that organization, money paid into it by American government officials, by the taxpayer in some cases, and by representatives of foreign governments. You can weigh in with your thoughts on that issue. You can email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at Central Time WPR. And looks like we have Juliette Sorensen back. Juliette, we lost you there. Could you pick up where you left off?
Yes, I'm sorry about that. So just to conclude, there's going to be some debate about the party's state of mind. Was President Trump actually anticipating a financial benefit when he encouraged the vice president to stay at the resort, for example? The state of mind was also at play when House Republicans complained about Barack Obama receiving an emolument from the government of Norway when he accepted the Nobel Peace Prize. That complaint was eventually abandoned by all, since nobody expected that that President Obama intended to be corrupted or that the government of Norway was trying to improperly influence him.
From an ethical standpoint, regardless of where the law ends up falling, is the general practice to try to keep a more clear line, not to ease into the gray area by presidents or other federal officials?
Absolutely. And let me be clear. This is very straightforward from an ethical perspective. Ireland is not a country where there is a shortage of well-equipped hotels. The notion that Vice President Pence, according to his statement, needed to stay at a Trump hotel, needed to put his security detail there, it's frankly preposterous. So why not avoid the entire debate and, if not an actual violation of the Emoluments Clause, at least the appearance of self-dealing by staying somewhere else?
Would it be worth it for future presidents, for Congress, to tackle this issue and lay out stricter guidelines than what is currently in the Constitution itself?
Yes, that could take place in a variety of forms. Probably federal legislation would be the most clear-cut way to build on the Constitution, which, as in many areas of the law, provides a foundation that is then elaborated on by the U.S. Code.
We'll leave it there for now. Juliette, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Juliette Sorensen, Executive Director of Injustice Watch and Clinical Professor of Law at the Northwestern Pritzker School of Law. She joins today for a look at the legal and ethical concerns surrounding the use of Trump properties by government officials, foreign and domestic.